Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, though, if you want to jot that phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. Our guest today, from the Grants Pass City Council, it is the first Tuesday of November. Nationwide, it's election today. We have nothing to vote on here in Josephine County, but we're welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. City Councilors Joel King and Kathleen Krohn, and welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us, both of you, this morning.
Thank you, Chuck. Nice to be here.
Thank you for what you do for the community, Chuck.
Oh, and I do so much sitting here in this chair with my feet up.
I know. You're hard at it. You're hard at it. I can see that.
And I won't talk about the hours that you two must put in just preparing for one meeting, and I know those meetings go on and on and on throughout the week. So, once again, kudos, and probably we should just double your salary. That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Oh, that'd be great.
Just give you twice as much as you're getting now?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, all right. All right, well, so much for the frivolity today, but let's start, Joel, first of all, with you. What are your constituents talking to you about today?
Oh, they're mainly concerned with the shelter and the decision just one step along the way of the grant. I think, too, you know, as we make progress, we're not all going to agree on everything, and that's okay. Catherine and I don't agree on everything, and I certainly respect her and listen to her because she has a valuable opinion.
She's going to get equal time, you know.
Yeah, which is great. But there is a future, and we need to build our community, and you're a big part of that in terms of communication, because without a united community, it's hard to accomplish things without a united community.
All right, Kathleen, same question. What are people talking to you about? Is it still the homeless project?
Well, yeah, that's foremost in everybody's mind, I believe, because it's so acute. We came to a vote yesterday, but I was pretty shocked at after having scored all the applications the first time with everybody having a property that all of a sudden Pathways property got taken away from them somehow and they came up short not having a property at the last minute, and that was pretty discouraging because they were the highest scorer of all the applicants, and the rest of the council didn't think it was going to fly if they didn't have a property, so the next highest scorer in line was voted in.
Let's talk about that pathway situation. They never did have the property, right?
Had a property, as the city attorney said several times at the workshop on Monday. And that's the whole thing. It's all when they get the money, then they buy the property. So until the seller apparently sees that the money is there, then they will go into formal contract. So everybody was on the same playing field with that.
All right.
But
let me just, when you make a point, Kathleen, and I appreciate you making your point, but when you pound on a dais here, it goes right up this stand right here and right into the microphone.
I tapped it. Okay.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. But
I think I made my point. We were just shocked at, you know, the outcome of that, since everybody had their properties in line when we scored the first time.
So, all right. All right. Color me confused. None of the applicants had the property.
Formal contracts
for their property. We initially chose Pathways because they scored higher.
Yes.
But they're unable to come up or at least secure that property.
Apparently.
So so they've been right now taken out of the situation. They've been, is that right?
Well, there was a contingency. They were selected applicant with a contingency that they finalized the property by a certain date. And that didn't happen, unfortunately for them. That didn't happen. And so Here you have a bid that is based on a property that they don't have. And so what do you do?
And on a property that got a lot of pushback from the community.
Yeah, I understand that, certainly. All right, so we've moved on then to the Elk Island Trading Group's property. Do they have a property, or are they looking to secure a property with the money?
So they're being handled the same way as Pathways. They don't have a signed agreement in their application because they didn't have the money. So they have a certain date, same time period that Pathways had to come up with a signed agreement so that we can for purchase, so that we could move ahead if they get that.
All right. What? How long is that date?
Oh, geez. It was pretty short.
I think till the 19th.
19th of this month?
Yes.
Okay. So pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. All right, and once that happens, what is the time frame we're looking to really get a situation up and moving? Is it about 6 months? What are we talking about?
We have a signed contract, and that takes, probably another week.
And the formal complaint time, there's a period of time where people put in formal complaints or...
And then under the contract, they have 6 months, I believe, to make it operational.
All right, I'm unfamiliar with Elk Island's... proposal. Where is the land that they're looking at? Do you know?
They're trying to buy a piece of property from Bi-Mart.
That's the Bi-Mart.
To the Mint.
Next to the old Parker's place.
Yes, next to the old Parker's place.
Okay, and do we have any idea if that's going to happen and what kind of feedback are we getting? Are we getting any feedback yet?
So that's the applicant's responsibility. And we'll hear back from them in a timely manner, and we'll move ahead accordingly or act accordingly, to just like we did with the other applicant.
All right. So we'll be looking for at least more information by the 19th. Is that the place that we're at here?
It sounds like it.
Okay. All right. In the meantime, what is happening with the current resting places right now? We're here in the news all the time. Are you dealing with any of that, or is that just basically left up to the administration?
Well, there's obviously some, first word that comes to mind, difficulty in terms of people obeying laws. Not all people, but most people obey laws, but there's people that don't. And it affects other people adversely and affects themselves adversely. And so that's been a constant struggle with both of the unsupervised sites. And that's the disadvantage of an unsupervised site is you don't have that constant monitoring.
It's the bad apples that always gets the headlines here, so there's no question about that. Do we have an idea of the percentage of what's going on there? Is it just a few, or is it widespread throughout these sites?
Well, one of the things that strikes me is most of the tents, at least in the site next to City Hall, are just filled up with stuff. They're not filled up with people. And if you base your population estimate of that on the number of tents, you're going to way overestimate the number of people that are staying there. But there are a significant number of people that are staying there, even though there are a lot of tents that are just storage of stuff. And, you know, in terms of percentage, we're not basically into that. Kathleen's got something here that she wants to talk about. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Well, yesterday we just were shown that the Grants Pass Police Department announced a new tool for our citizens where you can visualize local crime trends. And what you do is the link is to Citizens Connect, can be found at Grants Pass Police homepage under Important Links. And we were just shown yesterday how that works, and it's very effective. Just click on the links that you want about crime prevention, and a map comes up, and it shows you exactly where in the city the most crimes are happening. So people can go to that page now and see for themselves.
And there is a concentration of crimes by the camp. We need to leave that site with you so you can make that into a news item.
All right. We'll pass that along to our news department. We'll certainly do that in the meantime. Let's move along. You have a couple of things coming up here in the Wednesday night meeting, adjusting the water rates. What is that situation? What can you explain that? Can you explain that to it? How much more are you going to cost me?
Well, since we lost the BRIC grant, there's been a reevaluation of fee charges, but from what I'm hearing from the public works director, it's going to come in a lot lower than he initially suggested.
I pulled up just a little bit of information here before the show today, and we've still got about three different scenarios looking at that, depending on how that works out. Upwards of 3% for 1 year. This is an increase, and if an increase of 1% a year for 3 years, and then about 2.5% per year for 3 years in a third scenario. Have you gone through these, and do you have a feeling which way you'd like to go?
You know, I've just read it through once. I will need to do some more homework on it. I certainly appreciate the efforts of staff to try to minimize the rate increase. And I'm looking at those three scenarios here as we speak. That's in our packet. One of the things they're going to do with all three of them is increase the amount of money coming from the Urban Renewal Agency to the maximum amount for the water treatment plant. And that will minimize the effect on the water bill. And we'll see where we're at. It's one of those things, 1 to 3%. It certainly makes a difference in what you're going to pay. It's not hundreds of dollars. It's like tens of dollars a month. So we'll have to take a look at it and see.
All right, Kathleen, you want to weigh in on it?
Oh, I think he summed it up really well.
All right, from a consumer standpoint here, I see 1% or 3%, and is that a dollar? Is that $3? And but I'll also look at my utility bill or my water bill coming in, and I see lots of things, and it's gone up significantly in the last 4 years, just adding things to it. So another 3% or another 1% just seems to get my attention. Looks like you're reaching into my pocket more and more for other things.
Yeah, it'd be like $4 to $5 a year increase per month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for 3 years.
I think the initial suggestion from the public works director was $6. So it's good that it's coming in lower.
You brought it. Make me feel better. All right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO, and we'll be back right after this word.
If you have care experience.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. County commissioners, pardon me, excuse me, city councilors, Kathleen Crone and Joel King are in studio with us here today, and we're talking about the city of Grants Pass and what's going on here with a business meeting coming up on Wednesday evening. Also on that agenda is the resolution approving the purchase of real property up on Midland Avenue, 124 Northwest Midland. That's the big property between Washington and 6th and just north of Midland there. Can you give us an idea of exactly why we're looking to add to that property? Because the city all owns most of it. This is just a parcel that's adjacent to it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it fills out the one corner that was not owned by the city, and it will just round out the property, which we could do more with than that way.
Well, have we decided what we need to do more with?
Yeah, so a lot of the allowed, it will be a multi-use area where GC zones and R4 zones are in that. And there's multiple ways that this property could be used, which is a real win for the city. All forms of retail and wholesale, professional offices, medical, hotels or motels, restaurants, daycares, athletic clubs are under the GC zone, commercial. And then R4 zones could be condos, apartments, townhouses, professional offices, personal services. So there's a wide range of things the city can do with this depending on which applicants apply.
Well, you say the city can do with it. Actually, the city's just looking to sell it, isn't it?
Yes, that's what I mean. But people that want to buy it, all these different varieties.
Do we have interested buyers or developers inquiring yet?
No, we don't. We don't have the request yet. The urban renewal funds are meant to increase the tax base for the city of Grants Pass, and so we have this property there to develop by the private sector in a partnership with them to increase the tax base as private property. And so we'll be probably hiring a consultant to help us through that process and advertise and get some ideas from the private sector because they do that very well. The private sector does very well in creativity and creating new business and economic activity, and we'll go from there after we see what the bids are.
All right. Let's deal with the property that's we're attempting to buy here, and the purchase price is $417,000, and I understand that money has already been set aside, and coming from the Urban Renewal Agency. So that's a done deal as soon as we vote on it. Is that right?
That's correct, and it's Dr. Rondeau's medical office. It's a really nice office. It had room for several providers in there, and Dr. Rondeau practiced there for many years with his patients, so I'm sure they are familiar with where it's at. It was an in-holding, and so it would be kind of like if you have a new development and then you have this in-holding of this old building that may or may not fit in with the use around it, and it may, depending on the bids that we get. But it was something that we wanted to have because to offer to the private sector as one solid block rather than a block with cement holdings and the existing building that may or may not fit what they had in mind.
So adding this piece of property is the final block to putting out a request for bids on that particular land.
It's a step along the way.
All right. It's a step. What's the next step?
You know, I have not done this before, but the next step would be, in my mind, getting with a outside facilitator that has done this before, and then preparing a request for bids or some similar interaction with the private sector so that we get different bids on what they're thinking they want to do, and then we award it and go and let them do it.
Now, I know the wheels of government turn sometimes incredibly painfully slow, but this piece of land has been sitting there for a long time already.
Yes, it has.
Since the old hospital was torn down and I just see one roadblock after another being put up here. Is there a way that the city council can speed up the process, either one of you?
You know, I think that the process is going to be fairly expedient, depending on how fast we prepare that packet. And I think it's a priority for the council and the staff.
I mean, we got a prime piece of real estate there.
Yeah, we do.
And it could just off I-5, that would could be a great situation,
and it could benefit a lot of people attract new business owners and increase our tax base. So it's not in anybody's interest to try to delay it.
All right, looking ahead, we'll keep an eye on that. That's coming up. The purchase of that end piece of property coming up on the Wednesday night situation there. All right, I've gone through just real briefly here most of what is on. You're going to also create or a resolution that creates new job descriptions and amending the non-bargaining and some classification plans. But that's mostly a boilerplate situation, isn't it, where you're just rubber stamping what is happening. Anything else we need to know about what's coming up on Wednesday night?
Looking it over, I always try to beat the drum for people to become involved in their government, and we are appointing the one member to the Urban Tree Advisory Committee. It's too late to apply for that, but as openings on other committees come up, if you have an interest, your city needs you.
Well, there are openings always listed on the website. Is that right? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? All right. What else should your constituents be concerned about right now that's not making the headlines? What are the undercurrents in the city right now that you need to deal with or that you foresee coming along? Kathleen, any thoughts?
Well, I'd rather talk about things that they can be happy about are coming up, like Spalding infrastructure is well on its way to creating a new sewer line for more industrial companies to come in and buy property on the Spalding street.
What's the progress out there?
It's well underway. The road is all torn up and it's underway. So it should be in there soon.
Once again, that industrial park has been there waiting for something like this to happen, mm-hmm. in order to attract those businesses. Mm-hmm. Do we have businesses waiting in line for that?
Well, we have one under construction as we speak. And there was a potential purchase for the property across the street from it. I don't know where that's at right now, but there are different vacant lots along that street that could be purchased. So we're hopeful.
We usually don't open the phone lines, but I just had a call come in, and I don't recognize it. I can't see anything from here. But if with your permission, we'll take a phone call early. All right. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests? Hello. Hello. You have a question or comment for our guest today? Going once, going twice. All right. Thank you very much. Evidently, they went away. We'll see what's happened there. At any rate, we're just one of those strange things. We're coming up to the top of the hour news. So
something else I wanted to bring up was that we just had a Citizens Police Academy training go on, and 30 people are graduating from that. That is a program where citizens can come in and learn how the police department works and how they can be involved, and we're happy to see that so many people participated. And
30 people went through that.
Yeah.
Have you gone through it?
No, I haven't.
You haven't, Joel?
No, I haven't, but I've known people that have. It's a good program.
That's always intrigued me as something I'd like to do when I have the time.
Yeah, it's several weeks long, so it does take some commitment.
It does take some commitment. It's mostly on the evenings and on weekends, too, as I recall. So you can make it happen, and evidently 30 people did. Any idea what happens? Have you talked to Chief Hensman about the results of that and what it does for the community?
Well, I've talked to personal citizens, and they're all for it. They're so glad to be informed about how the police works and how they can be a part of it. So it really helps people understand how they can be a part of policing our city.
The more educated you are about what's going on around you, the better off you are, not only for your community, but for yourself and certainly your family.
Yeah. There's several other things we're hearing about, both Kathleen and I. One of them is in public safety. The city is reopened recruitment for the police cadet program to get more feet on the ground, support foot patrols in the Central Business District and city parks. The cadets provide a visible and approachable presence for business owners, citizens, and visitors. Then the other thing is, and council worked long and hard on this, it costs money. It doesn't come free. The city is hiring six policemen, and six firemen. So you'll see those recruitments come out, and then there's been an improvement to the delivery of public safety programs where they completed a rigorous 3-year reaccreditation process with the Northwest Accreditation Alliance, which is a bunch of words, but part of being professional is what we want our emergency services to be. And then the target solutions for task books, training plans, credential tracking, training is a very important part of that. And we're keeping up to speed on that. And then public education on emergency preparedness, crime prevention, fire and safety measures, which is the police academy, which Kathleen's very well described. And last of all, the proactive patrol and fire prevention activities. We partnered with the Oregon Department of Forestry in terms of public education. We brought Smokey the Bear, who's a bear dear to my heart, to every school in the city. And we also advanced public education and communications by launching the FireWire weekly internal newsletter to strengthen coordination and seed community facing content.
All right. I'm going to jump in here because my time is gone here for the first half hour. Thank you very much. Stick around. We've got a lot more to come. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
Attention veterans.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Number to call is 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, and we'll let you air your, comment or question straight through. Once again, 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that's wrong, we'll put you on the air live, and you can air your question to Counselor Kathleen Crone or good friend Joel King here. What do people need to know about the city council right now? Is there something that we haven't talked about yet that the people really need to know about? Either one of you want to step forward.
Well, I think...
really need to know. Maybe the ribbon cutting for Dollar Mountain.
Well,
that
yeah.
Just that, happened that, this last Saturday.
And before we get into that, just the priorities have been trying to deal positively with the homeless situation and economic growth and public safety. And be transparent and professional in that. But yeah, I attended the opening of Dollar Mountain. It's a nice park, mountain park. It kind of reminded me of, for those of you that have been to Whistler, British Columbia, where they have mountain bike trails. It's a miniature Whistler mountain bike park. Hopefully it'll be and I'm sure it will be, a regional attraction. And bring people in along with the other jump bike routes we have in our other parks. And I'm sure that they'll probably have some events scheduled throughout the year.
Are we reaching out to get those events scheduled?
It's through the economic development organizations. Our economic development specialist has been working with the private sector to have those happen. What is it, Tour Oregon or Visit Oregon? And then we also have the tourism tax that can financially support some of those activities because it brings in people from the outside. So we talked about marbles earlier. I don't know if you remember that, but, marbles, there's different ways of looking at money, and marbles are money. I can play marbles with you on the playground, and I can win your marbles, and I can take money from you.
I was a pretty good marble player.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll lose my money then. But then the other thing is I can be creative, and I can make more marbles and not take them from you. And the United States has been based on that. The Patent Office back in the Constitution, our industrial capacity to make more marbles has been amazing.
All right. Well, how can we make more marbles out of Dollar Mountain right now? Where's the outreach going, and what's the goal? And realistically, is there a time frame to achieve that?
Well, there's three. There's called what they call direct effects, indirect effects, and induced effects in terms of direct employment effects, which is the bike shops, the motels, the restaurants. That serve the people that come and use the park. The indirect effects are what they support, how they support those jobs, how they support themselves by buying bicycles from bicycle providers that aren't in the community, but that helps the economy there and parts. And then the induced ones are there's families then that are supported by that, and they go to school, they pay taxes, they own a new condominium up in the North Development. That's part of the increased tax base.
We've got to get people to bring those new marbles in. We've got to reach out to get those people to bring those marbles in. And how is that outreach going, and who's in charge of that?
Well, if you look at the new housing development right there by the entrance to Dollar Mountain, there's, I think, geez, there must be, it's a new subdivision going in, and it has, don't quote me on this, but it has numerous, I'm saying 10 to 15 new houses going in. And so you got construction.
Those are designed for the retire or military, is that right?
No, these are private sector.
Oh, okay.
They're going to be sold to the private sector, and there's people making money off of building houses. There's infrastructure. There's tax base increases. There's
and all that depends on those people coming in, Joel. And the question is how is that outreach going? We've got to reach out to get those people to come into Grants Pass and ride their bikes on Dollar Mountain.
Right. I would say it's going to take some patience. Right now, we're not known for bike trails. We're known for other things that aren't as attractive. And that's going to take some time, but that's happening. That transition is happening. So it'll take time, Chuck.
All right.
Well, we're known for the river, right? But
the rivers are our draw right now.
Now maybe we're going to be known for bike trails.
Both.
Yeah.
Oh, there I understand the bike trails up there are, I've not been up there, but even that's a collegiate level competition these days, and they're looking for places to ride.
Yeah.
Plus, you got e-bikes for you and me.
Don't get me started on e-bikes.
So we have Visit Grants Pass, who's working on bringing in people to town. You know, they bring in people that will from farther away than 50 miles, and they announce all our events, and they get the marketing out for things going on in Grants Pass. So this is another way to attract people.
Something else for them to talk about.
Yeah.
Something and it's part of the regional strategy in conjunction with what's happening down in Medford and Ashland and the Rogue Valley and the public lands, the federal lands. So it's a positive thing. Added to the industrial, if industrial development out at Spalding is going to be successful, and it will be at some point in time, that'll add to it. And the urban development dollars that we're putting in up in the northwest part of town for industry and housing, that'll put into it. The other thing is there's been, I don't have my fingers right on it, but there's been very successful housing projects that are now coming on the market that were financed by COVID dollars. And like the Nebraska apartments, all those are now coming online. They're being completed, and it's increasing.
They're close to opening up. They are. That was pretty quick once they got started.
And so that's part of the strategy too of dealing with unsheltered is to have shelters, have economic development, have housing available for people, and move on from there.
All right. Till, we're going to take a little break right here. Take a deep breath. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show on KAJO.
Affordable trucking.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. City Councilors Kathleen Crone and Joel King are both in studio with us today. I'd like to go back to something that we just kind of edged on going into the top of the hour news, and that's public safety, because it's been well reported that the council has agreed to increase the levels of the police force by 6, and I think fire and safety, fire and rescue by also 6. And we know that situation is going on, and we know that we're advertising for police officers right now online and on the website. So I'm not sure how that has gone right now, and I know you just can't wave a magic wand and put 6 more people on the police force unless you've got a certified officer coming in. But in order to get an officer certified or the new applicants coming in that don't have a certification, that takes about 6 months, doesn't it, to get an officer on the street, and then they're really under the supervision by an experienced officer. Is that accurate, and how far along in that survey, in that process are we?
I hear the recruitments are going really well. They have people, several applicants already in process, and so the process has begun. They're fast on it. And I hear that something that speeds up the process is when they come from other counties with experience.
If you got a certified officer coming in, absolutely.
We're having that.
Put them right on.
We're having some of that happen. So I think it's going well and speedily.
What's attracting those people from other areas? Do you have an idea? You can't shake your head. You got to tell me no.
This is just my intuition. I have nothing to base it. Well, I do have something to personal observation. Our police department has and fire department have good leadership. Mm-hmm. They have the respect of the rank and file. They're very professional. They're open. They're honest. And there's work to be done, good work. The police profession hasn't necessarily been the most attractive, popular profession to enter. Especially in the state of Oregon. But to my surprise, it looked like it was going fairly well. So more power to them.
Yeah, we don't have any numbers to applicants coming in.
I don't.
Just that there are some coming in.
Yeah. And we have also, I just want to back up what Joel said about our leadership. We have Chief Sanchez as the fire chief, and he has lots of great ideas. He said that with the 6 recruitments, we can increase our CIS status, which will reduce fire insurance costs. Yeah. So I'm sure that's real helpful for a lot of people.
He outlined it right in that same chair that you're sitting in right now for us. Last time he was in here.
Yeah, we don't want to forget that.
All right. Well, kudos to both the leadership here and once again from the police department. Certainly, we've seen nothing but professionalism, even though they are understaffed and on call a lot. We understand that. Mm-hmm. But they really need some reinforcements, and that's where six additional officers can come from. And once again, it'll take some time to get that out there. And we don't have a time frame for that yet.
I'd like to mention, too, there's been a lot of overtime because there was a need. And that's even more expensive. So there'll be some cost savings by hopefully a reduction in overtime. But even more importantly, the quality of life for those people, because you don't want to
Burnout. Less burnout.
Yes. It's because it's a stressful job.
Well, no question about that. And once again, kudos to both the leadership and the staff there. Once again, anytime I've had any experience or exposure to them in action, it has been totally professional, top to bottom, mm-hmm. Both fire and rescue and police.
I agree.
So we'll just bide our time and hopefully that the process will speed along and we'll get those boots on the ground as quickly as possible. Do we have the backup for those officers? I mean, do we have enough cars? What's the situation with that? Do we have an idea on that right now? What's going on with the maintenance of the vehicles and the supplies?
So we've this isn't the right word, but we've resisted cuts to those areas beyond what we did 4 years ago. And in fact, we've restored some of them. So as far as I know right now, the logistics of supplies are not a limiting factor. But if they are, I would hope that staff would let us know.
And I know that I've read in our literature that we've ordered new vehicles to replace older ones. So it's
radios,
they're keeping up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, radios.
All right. So
a new radio tower.
From technology, we're doing well then for public safety.
New website with where every crime occurs in the city that's open to all citizens.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here, 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for our guests, what do people need to take away from today's program, Kathleen?
Take away? Well, that things are moving forward, that a lot of things, like you said earlier, like the Washington property that was on hold, are moving forward. So we're happy to see these things move forward. And, even what I wanted to mention earlier is that we have a new agency recruiting and strengthening collaboration and coordination with our downtown area residents, merchants, and businesses called Main Street Grants Pass.
Yeah, we've had Main Street Grants Pass on this program before.
Yeah, so we don't want to forget them and what they're doing for our downtown.
Last time I saw them on being talked about by the council, there was a question about how many merchants have really signed up to be part of Main Street Grants Pass. Do we have an updated number on that yet?
Or do we know how
that's going?
But there will be one soon. They're on the docket here really, or the agenda here really soon to give us some of those numbers. I'm looking here. Might be our next workshop.
It was an effort to jumpstart the organization because there weren't a lot of members. If I remember right, there was less than five. I might be wrong. Definitely less than 10. So as we move forward, I know the council, we got a lot of competing priorities for taxpayer dollars. And so it's hard. Everybody comes to us for money. I've realized that now, being on there for 6 years. Seems like every other proposal is, we want taxpayer money. Give us taxpayer money. And they have to have a stake in the pie as well. That would be important. And there's a generational difference. There's no doubt about that. When my dad was working for a nonprofit, they would never think about going to the city government for operating expenses. They would raise it themselves.
But Main Street has come back and got $50,000 from the council here,
which is not bad.
Create an executive directorship.
Yeah. And what they say is true in terms of economic development, and the city government needs to be supportive. And it'll work. So there's no doubt in my mind. I told Seth the other day, I said, I don't care what happens, you make it work. And he's doing that. It's not just him, but the whole leadership is doing that. So there's
we should point out that City Councilor Seth Benham is part of Main Street Grants Pass. In fact, he's really the driving force behind it.
Yeah.
One of the driving forces.
Right. One of the things that happens is, and has happened in the past, the special events were funded totally outside of the city government. Like, what was the one with the cars?
Oh, well, back to the 50s and the car crews.
Yeah, that was totally financed by the private sector. And then the government started to finance it, and we've been in that business ever since. Once the government starts financing things, it's hard for the government then to say no, and people think it's unfair.
Yeah, in light of that, we also want to say that Main Street would like to take over some of the community activities like Art Along the Rogue and Christmas tree lighting and
back
4th of July.
50, back to the 50s.
Yeah, they're interested in that. Mm. So that would be a load off the city if they would eventually take over those events and
they could
financed.
Probably do it cheaper than the city could do it, and the city could help them along the way because we've been paying I wouldn't say the whole bill but most of the bill on all those events, so hopefully it'll save the city money, it will give them some money, but even more importantly it will help get those events into the city.
I'm down to about my last 5 minutes here, so I'm going to start. Kathleen, you have a business session coming up on Wednesday night, and we've gone over a lot of the agenda here already today. What do you need to hear from your constituents about what they would like you to do on Wednesday night or going forward as you're a counselor?
Well, maybe that what they would like to see go into the Midland property. What would the neighborhood like to see come in there? Maybe that would be something. Yeah.
All right.
Maybe see people ask about the tree committee, the parks committee, and how they could be part of that. Like Joel said earlier, we need more community involvement.
All right. Joel, what do you need to hear from your constituents before the meeting Wednesday night?
Well, the Wednesday night meeting is pretty mellow, with perhaps the exception of the water user rates going up, which is a hard thing to deal with, but it's also hard not to deal with. But it's a pretty mellow adjustment. So I would just say anything that they're concerned about that's on their radar that perhaps we're not addressing in a timely manner or that they have thoughts about. And we need to listen. We need to understand, and we need to communicate.
All right, Kathleen, if someone has a comment or a suggestion on what to do, particularly with that Northwest Washington property, how do they get a hold of you? How do they get that feedback to you?
Well, they can email any of us, city council members, through the city email website. They can call the administrator, the office, and ask for them to have us call them. Those are two ways that I've seen communication happen. Or they can come to the city council meetings and they can come up to the podium and make their request.
You've got 2 minutes there. Use it. All right, Joel.
Well, and also there'll be an official feedback period where I'm sure there'll be some public involvement in what's going to happen there. So there'll also be some targeted involvement that once we know more about what the options are and those kind of things.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both very much for appearing here. City Councilors Joel King and Kathleen Crone on the Tuesday Talk Show. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
The savings continue.